When we talk about a crime report, when people talk about crime on campus, when you put together something like this, it's called the Cleary Report, what are you looking at? What are you reporting back to the people?
Well, the report is based upon index crimes. Index crimes are divided into a couple of categories, a couple of groups, if you will. There's a category of four crimes against persons, and this is things like robbery or manslaughter. And then there are four crimes against what is considered property, such as a burglary or an arson, something along the lines of a damage to a property. And so this is a national standard. These are things that we can compare and have been compared for a number of years so that we can essentially try to say we're comparing apples to apples when we're talking about crimes that affect people's quality of life is essentially what those are designed to try to measure. Certainly there are a number of crimes that are not included that are impact people's lives as well every day. But these are the ones that have been in existence now for a long time. It gives us the ability to look back over several years and show whether or not crime is trending up, trending down, and just what the overall environmental conditions are of a particular community.
We'll talk a little bit about trends in just a minute, but I want to let people know that you can go to dps.siu.edu, and over on the left-hand side of the page, you can click on the Cleary Report and see the numbers for SIU. When you talk about trends, I guess it's a generalization, but are things getting better? Are things getting worse? Or where does SIU stack up?
What we see over a period of now close to 30 years that we have statistics that we can go back and look at. Interestingly, when the crime declines in the state of Illinois, we see a decline in the campus crime. And when we see an increase in a particular category in the state, we start to see an increase on campus as well. Right now, what we're struggling with the most are, and what we would also look at as possibly an economic indicator of why crime is occurring. Tough economic times across the state, across the country. So we're seeing an increase in burglary and theft, which are crimes that are opportunistic. People see an opportunity to take something and they go ahead and do that. The way you combat that is certainly is to do a lot of education, work with your community, try to get them to understand what is occurring and what they can do to try to prevent it.
When you look at the comparison between 2010 and 2011, and these are calendar years, you see on campus burglaries, for example, are at 42 in 2010, up to 67 in 2011. Does that go along the trend that you're talking about then?
Yeah, we started looking a little closer at that about 2 to 3 years ago when we started to see an uptick in both theft. Which theft isn't necessarily one that shows up on the Cleary statistics or in the index crime, but theft is far and away the biggest problem that college campuses across the board struggle with. So we started to see an increase there. We started to see an increase in burglaries. And so we've started to try to work with the community to educate them a little bit about, you have to lock your door and you have to be cognizant of your surroundings. And you can't leave some of these items that are stolen lying around. I mean, you know, the sort of the humorous side of this that I try to use when I'm talking to the student body is, you know, if I stole a computer when they were first introduced when I was a student, I would need, you know, a flatbed trailer to haul it around. That's not the case. You can get a very high-dollar item, such as a laptop, which is ubiquitous around the campus, and it's not going to raise anybody's suspicion. Even somebody as old as I would be carrying a laptop. It's not strange. And so these items are high-dollar. They're easily concealed, and so people need to take steps to make sure that they're safeguarding them. And they get to living very comfortably in their community. You know, the residence halls are a community-oriented environment, and that is a good thing. You want them to feel comfortable where they're at, but they can't afford to let their guard down either.
Let's talk a little bit about perception. For some, there is a perception that crime on SIUC's campus and in the community at large either has gone up or is high enough to cause concern. Is this a safe campus?
Yes, I think if people do the things that we've asked them to do, if they use some common sense, if they don't engage excessively in activities, late night kinds of activities, that could subject them to being a victim. I think if they do that, yes, it's a safe campus. Are there concerns around in the neighborhoods? Are there concerns if you go to the tavern late at night at 2 in the morning? Is there the possibility that you would be a victim of a crime? Sure. And that is something that we're concerned about. I know it's something that the city is concerned about as well. And I know that there are some efforts underway to take a fresh look at making sure that we're doing everything we can to try and provide the safest environment as possible. Perception is is reality, and it is a very difficult thing to work with, because if you are the victim of a crime, that's a 100% experience in your life. It only takes one of those experiences to provide your perspective on whether or not you think a place is safe. If you're the friend of someone who's been a victim, it's a very real, close experience as well. As you move further and further away, I suppose it's probably less of a concern to you.
When you talk about ways to educate the student population, and for that matter, the faculty and the staff, everyone here on the campus, there are few, if any, opportunities to have the entire group together at one time to get your message out. So what does the Department of Public Safety do in terms of educating people on how to stay safe?
We do a number of programs, and we work in conjunction with some other offices on campus as well, so that when they have that opportunity also, you know, we try to use the synergy of various offices to continually get the message across. We work a lot with Residence Life. We work a lot with the Wellness Center and Student Health Center. We work a lot with Student Rights and Responsibility Office as well. And collectively, we try and continually push this message out. We try and do educational pieces with local media such as this, so that we're always not to the point of creating a hysteria among people, that they feel as though, I mean, every time I turn around, there's a story about crime and safety and so forth. But I think you have to keep it in people's forefront a lot of times, because when you step back and you look at the numbers, it's still a very rare occurrence that someone is a victim of a crime. And so most people go through their daily lives without that experience. And so as they're more and more removed from it, they don't maybe think about it as diligently as us in the field would like them to do so.
In just a couple of minutes or so that we have remaining, and I wish that we had more time to spend on this, but when you follow things like Virginia Tech, the incident at Northern Illinois University, people hear things like a threat on the SIU campus, which we've had two this year, and they wonder whether or not that perception is real, whether things are safe. How do you prepare and plan for incidents such as those?
Well, we do have an all-hazard plan in place. The state of Illinois in 2008 passed the Campus Safety Enhancement Act, which mandated, Illinois along with Virginia are the only two states currently that I'm aware of that mandate this kind of a plan. It's an all-hazard plan, so it takes into account not only man-made events, but natural events as well, such as a tornado. And that is all part of a comprehensive effort to make sure that you have procedures and protocols in place so that when something does occur, that you respond appropriately and you react to the situation. Part of what it's required to do as well is to educate the community, and we try to do that through a number of different programs, including BERT and some of the posters and so forth that you see around campus.
When you talk to people about crime, they talk about ways to lower your risk of being affected by a crime. How do you lower your risk for something like these two threats that have already affected the campus?
I don't know that there's a lot you can do to necessarily lower your risk. I mean, you're working within a geographic setting. I mean, it's an open campus. People come and go. I think what we want people to do is to be aware of their surroundings, to report behavior that doesn't appear appropriate, and allow law enforcement and the first responders to have an opportunity to investigate it. We've always told people we'd far more like to respond to a lot of calls that end up being turn out to be nothing, and we'll do that all day long, and as opposed to people not being diligent about their surroundings.
Sure, and you can get more information by going to the Department of Public Safety's website. That's dps.siu.edu. You can also call the Department of Public Safety if you'd like more information or would like to set up an opportunity for people to learn about how to protect themselves. 453-DPS-1. That's 453-3771. Todd Ziegler, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.